Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve, amen. My, oh my. You may be seated for just a moment. Thank you so much for being here. I know it's already been said and I'm grateful, but I want to say thank you to all of our guests. We love when guests come to Heaven View, don't we? We're just thrilled. And we want you to receive from the Lord. Perhaps you might think to yourself, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. But more than what you see, we want you to experience Jesus Christ in a supernatural way here in this service. He can do anything that you need Him to do, chiefly to give your life into His hands. Many of you probably remember the first time you did that. But how many of you just get a little bit more blessed each time you say, here's my life, Lord. And I think this Sunday is a great Sunday to say, God, I give myself to you. Certainly during this season, there will be some hearts that will turn to the Lord for the very first time. And we give God the glory for that. Amen. I want to say thank you to everyone that has been working behind the scenes for the concert tonight. Tonight will certainly be focused on those that are coming from this community to experience Jesus through the music and the singing. But it takes a whole lot of work from a whole lot of people. And we want to say thank you to you, each of you. We won't mention every name, but we want you to know we appreciate it. There are things that have happened this week, even behind the scenes, repairs that have gone on, other areas of things that needed to be taken care of in terms of even the building. And you don't see the difference, but let me tell you something, the difference has been made, and we thank the Lord for that. I also want to say it's great to have Brother Brett Grubbs with us here. We love Brother Brett. I wish there was a way he could just play for the whole time I'm preaching, because I think that would elevate this message in everybody's life. But I won't put that pressure on him. He's going to be ministering tonight along with the rest of the team. But we want to say, we know you're actively involved in a great blessing in your home church. We don't take it for granted you've taken time to be with us on this Sunday. We love Brother Brett, amen. We really do. Some of you will remember Brian Miller that was here last year for the Christmas concert. Does a tremendous job ministering with the saxophone. He'll be back tonight. And then I don't know how you feel, but I'm kind of partial to our Heaven View band, our Heaven View choir, our Heaven View singers. Thank you to each of you that worked so hard. And I just want to beg everybody. Is there anybody that's not coming to? No, I don't want to put you on the spot. But it would mean a lot to all of us if you would come back and bring someone with you. Now, there are many of you that have invited all kinds of people, and they'll be coming, but we need you here. And then if I could just put in a little commercial, it wouldn't be practical to do this tonight. But a lot of our guests that are coming for a concert. And we're thrilled for that. But they're not going to get anything different out of this concert than any other concert that they may see at a Coliseum or some other church. The difference maker is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. That's why you've been praying and some have fasted for this concert. But when you come, not your guests, but when you come, we need you to worship Jesus Christ because He inhabits the praises of His people. And I can guarantee you, everybody up here is going to be praising the Lord, so they're going to be feeling God up here, no problem. But if you're not praising Him where you're seated, somebody near you may say that was beautiful music, but they will not experience the power of God. So I need your help with that. I know you'll do a great job, but I'm not going to be able to give you those details this evening. I just want you to give it your best because there will be people here tonight. This will be their only opportunity, some for the first time in their lives, to feel what they can feel. There was a believer that was here a couple weeks ago. I won't embarrass or call out a name, but he said to me that he was in a service here at Heaven View recently where he felt something from God he had never felt in his life before. Now, this is someone that loves God, serves God, believes in God. I want people to be blessed tonight. Amen. I want people to receive something great tonight. I wonder if you would practice. Just stand and you would just practice worshiping the Lord. Just pretend the choir has just sung the very first song. And you just begin to worship the Lord like you're going to worship Him. Praise God. Praise God. Get your Bibles handy. Now, I'll just tell you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being just amazing worship, I'm going to give that like a 15.3752. That was awesome. If you can just entertain the presence of the Lord throughout the concert, God will change people's lives. At some point in the concert, there will be prayer. The altar will be this entire sanctuary. We won't have a lot of time. It wouldn't be fair to our guests to take too much of their time, but there will be an opportunity for God to pour out His Spirit and heal and help and bless and fill. When that happens, would you pray in the Spirit with everything that is within you and be led of the Lord? Amen. I know you'll do great, and I'll do my part too. Matthew 1 and verse 23. Turn our hearts towards the Christmas story just a little bit today. And hopefully, I really feel like God wants to talk to us. And I hope I can get out of the way and let Him speak. Matthew 1 and verse 23. 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Everybody say Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Which being interpreted is God with us. Now I feel like God has a message for everybody here today, this Christmas season, and it's simply this: God is with you. God is with you. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, I'd like for your Spirit to do something in this place that I could never do with just my words. Lord, take over this process. Let me be a vessel you can work through, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah! I love you, Jesus, and I believe that you will speak and bless and anoint and work, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Can you say in Jesus' name? You may be seated. If you would look back at Matthew chapter 1, just a couple of verses prior to where we read, you will see more of the discussion where an angel is trying to calm the fears of Joseph. Joseph and Mary are supposed to be getting married, but there is some news that has come to Joseph that is quite shocking, and I'm not going to go through all the details, but I do want you to look at verse 21, what the angel tells Joseph concerning his wife to be. He says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's in this context that we discover just a couple of verses later that Jesus will be Emmanuel, God with us. And I just want to throw this out there for you to consider for a few minutes today. We know the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Certainly, there's no confusion on that point. He has come to save his people from their sins. But what I think is significant in this passage is that we discover that saving people from their sins is way more personal than perhaps we might have realized. God did not save us remotely. He did not save us from an undisclosed location far away. He saved us by becoming Emmanuel, God with us. And I would like for you to consider what I have learned by experience. And some of you probably could be honest and say, that's me too, Pastor. Here is what I have learned. Humanity without God in close proximity is a dangerous proposition. On my own, I could get in a heap of trouble if I don't have God close by. Things just don't go real well for me. In fact, that's why I celebrate in this season even more than some others. God is with us because I need him as close as I can get him. In fact, I need him as close as the mention of his name. I need a Savior, but I don't need a Savior that's just a piece of history far away and a long time ago. I need a Savior that loves me enough that he would come to me as close as anyone else could get to me, and he would literally save me from my sins. There's a prophecy we quote at Christmas time that really celebrates the beauty and the power of Jesus being close to us. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Some of y'all can quote this with me. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I don't want to confuse anybody. I'm not talking about a lot of different gods right there in that verse. I'm not even talking about a lot of different persons and they all make up God. I'm not talking about that. I believe that the God we serve is God all by himself. And so when we begin to celebrate that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, we recognize that when we need a wonderful counselor, he is with us. When we need a mighty God, he is with us. When we need an everlasting Father, he is with us. When we need a Prince of Peace, he is with us. The angel said Jesus is coming to save people from their sins because God can't save us from an undisclosed location, but he's going to come to this earth as a baby, and that baby's going to become a man so that we can touch him and he can touch us, and eventually he's going to die on a cross, but he's not going to stay in the grave. He's going to rise up in glory, and he's going to be manifest by his Spirit so that he can be with us and within us. Because if he's going to save you, you got to get him with you. If he's going to save us, we need Jesus with us. Amen. Hallelujah. So Christmas reveals God's love for us. Sure it does. But it also reveals our need for God. We need God with us. I need God with me. And you, anybody know you need God with you? I need more than just a little religious tradition. I need God with us. I need more than just some few fancy stories and perhaps throw in some Christmas carols. I need God with me, with my family, with my kids, with my community. We need God to come to us. John 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Skip down to verse 10. It says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Go back to verse 11. It says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, I'm not going to stay here long, but I think I should just remind you that even though Christmas is beautiful to us, there are some people that think it's just a story. Even though Christmas really has changed our lives forever, there are even religious people, even Christian people, that say it's just a story. You know what makes the difference? If you ever get God with you, then it becomes more than a story. If you ever get God inside of you, then it becomes more than just a story. When He came, there were people that knew there's Jesus, but they didn't see Him as God. He was just another man. But there are other people that said, wait a minute, that's my Savior. He knew I needed Him so bad that He came through all of eternity and glory and stepped into this world in humanity. And He's given me access to His presence and His power. And to everyone that believes on Him, He still gives power to us that believe on His name. You know why? Because we need Him close. We need Him now. We need Him here. And if we will believe, He will save us by coming to us. Oh, could you clap your hands and lift your voice? Here's what I believe is going to happen in the next few minutes. I believe there's somebody that's in this sanctuary that's going to latch on to enough faith to say, God is with me right now. And whatever I need, I just need to call on His name. And as I worship Him like He's here right now, as I praise Him like He's here right now, the blessing's going to flow, the power's going to flow, and the greatest gift that He can give to anyone this Christmas is to forgive us of all of our sins. But not only does He forgive us of our sins, He gives us power over every sin so we can live for Him. We can live with Him. We can have His power in our lives. Now, I got to be honest with you, because I'm praying, I'm preparing, I'm hearing the voice of God as He speaks to me. It's not an audible voice. It's just thoughts that He gives me. I try to put them together and share them with you. But it occurred to me that in this message today, it's possible that I'm only preaching to three people. Three people in this entire sanctuary. Now, if you're not one of those three people, you're sure of it, you can slip out now. Because you got to be thinking, why would I waste my time if He's only preaching to three? And I know I'm not one of the three. But I feel like God has a message for at least three people here today. Very quickly, I'm going to tell you who they are. I'm going to give the message. We'll get that guitar player back up here. Because then you're going to say, man, that was an awesome message. The first person that God is speaking to, and I'm sorry, I don't know exactly who you are. I'm not even going to try to guess, because you and God will know. The first person that God is speaking to is the one that needs to hear the message, God wants to be with you. I don't know who this person is, but they probably can be described this way. At times you have felt unwanted, maybe even unloved. But the God of the universe sent me with a message. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. He loves you, and he wants to be with you. Now don't raise your hand and don't point at me. But everybody knows somebody that it seems like nobody wants to be with them. God wants to be with that person. And there are several in this sanctuary that have felt that emotion. There's really nobody that wants to be with me. God sent you a message today. He wants to be with you. The second person. Now, there's three people, and I hope I don't have to preach a message on the oneness of God because I'm talking about three persons. But I can do that. I got all day. The second person is the person that needs to know God can be with you. Now that may seem simple to a lot of us, but go back to the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1 when Mary was given this incredible promise that God with us was coming to her womb. She asked the question, how shall this be? And look at Luke 1 and verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now just leave that verse there until we call for another one, because that verse is so powerful. Because this is how God came to be with Mary. He was born in her. And what happened to Mary physically, I'm going to need an amen right here, still happens spiritually to anybody that believes and calls on the name of Jesus. I'm trying to preach to somebody, God can be with you. More than a story, more than just your Sunday religion, you can have the supernatural experience that is described as the Holy Ghost coming upon you and the power of the highest overshadowing you and Jesus Christ being born in you. Why? Because God wants to be with you, and God can be with you by the power of his Spirit. He promises all of us, I am with you, but I shall be in you. Oh, that's a good place to say thank you, Jesus, that nobody's off limits. Thank you, Jesus, that nobody's restricted. Thank you, Jesus. In the Old Testament, we read, and I want to address this for the person that might feel like maybe God can be with you. But I just don't think he can be with me. Maybe God can be with him. I just can't imagine he can be with me. One reason why you might feel that way is found in the Old Testament. Isaiah 59 verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The reason why God had to come and save us is because sin separates an unholy person from a holy God. That was the problem with the Old Testament people of God. No matter how hard they tried, there was just sin after sin and failure after failure and weakness after weakness until they felt so separated from God. Until there were hundreds of years when it seemed like there was nothing but silence from heaven. But in the New Testament, we discover here comes God robed in flesh. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. In other words, he was saying, y'all come back now. I know we've been separated, but when I die for your sins, all of your sins are going to be under the blood and you're going to be rescued and there will be no separation. Anybody thankful that God can be with you? Anybody thankful that your sins can be under the blood and God can be with you? But I think we should acknowledge, and I am going to ask for a show of hands in just a few moments, but wait till you hear the question, because I feel like people can relate if they know you've been through what they're going through. Anybody ever remember in your time, a time in your life, any time, it didn't have to be yesterday, it could have been years ago, when you felt like you were here and God was far away? Just raise your hand. Now everybody look around. You're not the only one if you've ever felt that way. There's a lot of us. I got my hands up because I felt that way. And this verse, the prophet Isaiah said, sin has a way of separating us. And we don't like to talk about sin because we don't want to offend anybody. But there is a good chance that sometimes the reason why we feel that separation is because God is not first and foremost in our life. Even some of us can recall when there was a bunch of sin and it seemed like we were serving sin instead of Jesus. We were serving the world instead of Jesus. Now, I know that's kind of personal, but anybody brave enough to say, Pastor, I've been there. There was a time, go ahead, wave your hand. There was a time when I was living in sin. Don't be embarrassed. I need somebody here today to recognize you are not the only one. I'm trying to tell somebody, God can be with you. Yes, sin is a problem, but there is an antidote for sin. It is the blood of Jesus. He didn't stay in the manger. He went to the cross and he shed his blood so that every single one of us can have all of our sins forgiven. Oh, could you clap your hands and lift your voice as if to say, thank you, Jesus. So the Old Testament dilemma of sin has a New Testament solution. And there's many verses I could read, but I'd like for you to see this one in Acts chapter 2. When some folks heard the preacher identify their sinful condition, they said, what should we do about it? And verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Where have we read about that Holy Ghost? When the angel said to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. If you want power over sin, if you want to be closer to God than you've ever been, all you've got to do is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and all your sins will be washed away, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And look at the next verse. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Today, God is calling you. Today, God is calling you. And he's saying, I can be with you. Yes. So the first person, God wants to be with you. The second person, God can be with you. And the third person, I don't know who you are. And I guess these could actually be categories of people. So maybe there could be more than one person that would be in this category. That person needs to know God is with you. Christmas is God with us. But I really feel like God sent me with a message today for somebody. And that message is this: Christmas is not just God with us. Christmas is God with you. God with you. Is there anybody in this sanctuary? Don't raise your hand. It's very personal. But do you need to be reminded today that Jesus Christ has promised you he will never leave you or forsake you? He is with you always, even to the end of the world. You say, well, when's the end of the world? I don't know, but sometimes you feel like your world is coming to an end. And he sent me with the promise, he is with you today. He is with you. Hebrews chapter 13, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Suffering knows no holiday season, but take heart today. God is with you, so that in this holiday season, if you feel like you're fighting hell, if you feel like everything in your life is falling apart, I want you to know God is going to be with you so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what's happening in my life. Come on, that's the message of Christmas. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. If you lose your job during the holiday season, God is with you. If you lose your health during the holiday season, God is with you. If there's struggles in your family during the holiday season, God is with you. I know it's simple. I know we've heard it before, but at least one person needs to hear it today. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, God is with you. Oh, would you clap your hands and lift your voice out to the Lord? I don't know who you are, but if you slipped in today and you're saying, it's like Pastor heard my thoughts last night. Nobody wants to be with me. Everybody's having a great time during this season. I've got nothing. God wants to be with you. God wants to be with you. And if you're not on anybody's party list, why don't you just get with God and say, Jesus, if you want to be with me, I want to be with you. If even some of those closest to you seem busy and to the point that they're too busy for you, don't get bitter at them. Just remember, God wants to be with me. And so maybe they're busy and maybe their schedule's a little bit overwhelming them. I don't want to try to judge whether or not they love me. I just want to accept the reality that God wants to be with me. And if you are here and you have heard about the Holy Ghost, but you are really not sure you can recall an experience where the Holy Ghost came upon you and the power of the highest overshadowed you and Jesus Christ was born in you, today's your day. God can be with you. I'm talking about more than just religion. I'm even talking about more than just accepting him as your Savior. I'm not against any of that. I'm just saying there's more. There's more. God can be with you on a level that is so supernatural that he can fill you with your spirit and you can speak a language that's not the language you learned in school. It's a language that comes from him. And not only that, not only will he fill you with your spirit, his spirit, and give you the initial evidence, but he will manifest the fruit of his spirit in your life and the gifts of the Spirit in your life. He can be with you just like that. Amen. Come on, God, don't settle for just a story. Don't settle for just decorations. Don't settle for just some pretty songs. Jesus, be born in me. Be born in me. And then, and I don't mind telling you, this last person was the person that I really feel I had to zero in on today. The person that can relate to these words that just don't fit into the Christmas season at all, but they're fitting into your season right now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Everybody else is celebrating. Everybody else says it's party time. But I feel like I'm in the valley. I feel like I'm sucked up by the shadows. I feel like there's no hope for me in this season. I want to just remember in this service that God is with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm trying to tell somebody today, God is with you. God is with you. And so I'm asking Sister Abby to come. I asked her to prepare this song. Only thing is I asked her on the way to church, so give her a break. But I feel like the message of this song needs to reach somebody today. I want to ask you just a couple more questions before she sings. What would you do this Christmas? Is with you. If you knew that you were not alone, even with heartache, even with headaches, you knew he's with me. He's with me. He's with me. Could you turn your attention off of yourself, even off of your family, just enough to find someone else that's hurting during this season, someone else that's broken during this season, and just do one thing, say one word, find one way to love them and bless them, as if to say, I'm in the valley and I've got troubles heaped up on my life, but I will not waste this Christmas looking inward. I know God is with me, and so I'm going to give of myself. We're going to give of our family. And we're going to reach out to someone. We're going to reach out to someone. And we're going to love them. We're going to bless them. What does the scripture say in the New Testament? In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through this season. Yeah, but I know God is with you. And so he's going to give you everything that you need. And while he's given to you, you just find a way to be a blessing to somebody else. That's why every season during this time, we give to Christmas for Christ. It forces us to get outside of ourselves and outside of our family. We give to help others know Jesus. Because you know what? God loves a cheerful giver. And there's a good chance you can't be near as cheerful during this season if you're just receiving. You've got to be a giver. Give your time. Give your money. Give yourself. But most of all, give some of God to somebody. God that is with you. God that is with you. Give him. And finally, and I close with this final question. Mary had received this amazing promise. She said, how's this going to be? The angel explained And Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And you know what Mary did? She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior." I don't know what's going on. I don't know how this is all going to work out, but I'm going to worship him because he's promised that his spirit's going to overshadow me and something is going to be born in me. So I want everybody to stand. And in just a moment, as she begins to sing, this entire altar area is going to be a worship space. A worship space. And I know some of you will come with needs, and some of you will come expecting a miracle, and all of that has its place. I hope you come. But if you will come worshiping, if you will come worshiping, I know I'm in the valley, but my soul magnifies the Lord. I know God's promised me some things, and there's no way it makes sense, but my soul magnifies the Lord. I guarantee you that in your worship, he will be with you. In your worship, he will be with you. So here's my question, from the pulpit to the back door: how would you worship in this season if you knew that God is with you? Would you come not thinking about your problem, not thinking about your sickness, not thinking about your family, not thinking about your job, but would you come and would you worship as if God is with you? Would you worship as if God is with you? Would you worship as if God is with you? How would you worship if you knew God is with you?
Call you waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are.
Come on, how would you worship if you knew that God was with you?
I call you.
How would you worship if you knew that God was with you? I've got sickness, but God is with me. I've got trouble, but God is with me. I need a few miracles, but God is with me. There are people all around me that are desperate, that are broken, worker, but God
promise
is with me.
Keeper, light in the darkness, that is who you are. I call you waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, that is who you are. You are here, you're moving. Worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you.
Come on, elders.
I
could you find a worshiper and pray a blessing upon them?
I call.
Come on, elders. Can you find a worshiper
and
pray for a miracle in their
promise
life?
Keep.
Come on, elders.
Light in the
come
darkness.
On, believers. Come on. Could you
that
find a worshiper?
Who you
come on, could you find a worshiper?
I call
a
you
right now.
Waymaker.
Come on, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here.
Light in the darkness.
Come on, would you be led of the Holy Ghost right now?
That is
would you be led of the Holy
are.
Ghost right now? Would you be led of the Holy Ghost right now?
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
Come on, there's
in
a miracle
darkness.
For a worshiper right now. There's
that
a miracle
is
for a worshiper
who you
right
are.
Now.
I call you waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the dark.